The United States Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has sought to defend President Donald Trump's tough stance on NATO ally Turkey as tensions mount between Washington and Ankara. Earlier this week, President Donald Trump tweeted a threat to devastate Turkey's economy if it attacks US-backed Kurdish rebels in Syria. Turkey regards ethnic Kurdish forces in Syria as being linked to the banned Kurdistan Workers' Party that's waging a decades-long insurgency on Turkish territory. But Mike Pompeo says the president's tweet underscores America's commitment to its partners. Dr. Jonathan Speier is a research fellow at the Jerusalem Institute for Strategic Studies with specialist knowledge of the Syrian conflict, and he joins us this morning. Thanks for your time today.
Most welcome. Thanks for having me.
Now, how likely is it that Turkey will attack Kurdish forces along the border in northeastern Syria?
Well, Turkey is assembling and has assembled a very, very large military force close to the border, certainly the largest force it's assembled in the course of the Syrian war. And there are those who are saying it's the largest force Turkey assembled since it attacked Cyprus in 1974. Tens of thousands of soldiers there on the border. But for as long as the United States remains present in the area of Syria east of the Euphrates, it seems to me that it's very unlikely that the Turks will risk or will dare to put a foot or put a boot across the border. And as we know, in spite of President Trump's announcement on December 19th of the rapid withdrawal of the U.S. forces, it now looks like we're talking about a time frame of 3 or 4 months at least before that withdrawal will be completed. So it does seem to me that for as long as the Americans are there, the Turks are unlikely to go across the border. Now, the other thing is that the Kurdish forces are busy now negotiating with the Syrian regime, the Assad regime, via the Russians for a possible return of regime forces in the Russians east of the Euphrates. And if they come when the Americans go, again, it'll be very complicated for the Turks to think about entering the area when the Russians at that point will be guaranteeing it. So while there is a very large Turkish force and a lot of bellicose rhetoric coming out of Ankara, I would say there remain very significant question marks over the likelihood or at least the timing of that Turkish incursion.
What about the threat by Donald Trump to devastate Turkey economically if it was to attack the Kurdish forces in Syria? Is it a real threat, and how's it gone down in Turkey?
The Turks have responded very robustly to it, and the Turkish Foreign Minister, I think it was Foreign Minister Mevlut Cavusoglu, ridiculed Trump for what he called his threatening language and said we're not going to be frightened off and so on. Well, you know, Turkey is vulnerable economically. There has been an economic turndown. There are local elections coming along in March in Turkey, and, you know, a lot of the eyes will be on the economy. And we know that President Trump seems to like the idea of economic pressure rather than military pressure on adversaries. And we can think, for example, of the renewed sanctions on Iran, you know, after November 4th in the energy and finance sectors. And I think because Trump clearly campaigned on the notion of ending, you know, the supposedly endless wars of the Americans in the Middle East and so on, I think he seems to like the idea of economic pressure as a substitute for, you know, for military threats. Having said that, you know, I do have to say, I mean, in a sense, it's a sort of a mystery as to exactly what U.S. strategy on Turkey and indeed on eastern Syria is, because there are so many different voices and so many different wills, it seems, pulling in all kinds of directions. President Trump in one direction, National Security Advisor John Bolton in another, maybe Secretary of State Pompeo, you know, with Bolton, and then the people who kind of jumped ship after the president's announcement, obviously former Secretary of Defense James Mattis. So, frankly, there is a kind of sense of chaos emerging from the U.S.
And an attempt to mop up, isn't it?
What's that?
And an attempt to mop up.
Yes, well, yeah, I would say so. So, I mean, it's not, there's a real lack of clarity here, and it's difficult to know, you know, exactly what will happen, because it doesn't seem, it's not quite clear if there is a real strategy behind all those statements or if there is just chaos behind the contradictory statements coming out of the administration.
So the Turkish President Erdogan has responded to Donald Trump's tweet by saying that Turkey fights against terrorists, not Kurds as a people. Would that bring any reassurance to the Turkish, to the Kurdish groups in Syria?
Well, I don't think it will, because when, unfortunately, you know, President Erdogan has a fairly broad definition of who the terrorists are when it comes to the Kurds, and it certainly would include, his definition of terrorism certainly would include pretty much the entirety of the de facto governing authorities, Kurdish-dominated governing authorities in eastern Syria at the present time, and indeed the entirety of their military forces, the Syrian Democratic Forces. When Erdogan talks about Kurds who he doesn't regard as terrorists, he's probably referring to such forces as Massoud Barzani and the people in Kurdish regional government in northern Iraq, who have a different relationship with Turkey. But pretty much anybody who is in any way, even ideologically, connected to the PKK trend in Kurdish nationalist politics will be regarded and are regarded as terrorists by the Turks, and that includes pretty much everybody who's in a position of political or military authority in the currently existing authorities east of the Euphrates, who are the people who are being targeted by the Turkish military force now assembling on the border.
What about this idea that was included in one of Trump's tweets about a 20-mile safe zone, some sort of buffer between Turkey and the Kurdish-controlled territory in Syria? Is that a possibility?
Well, again, it's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, we're sort of talking about this and speculating about it now, and literally all there is to that policy, that sort of floated policy, is, you know, a single sentence in a tweet by President Trump, a couple of days ago, which we're now speculating, what might that actually mean? Nobody's really talked about it before. The president hasn't gone into any detail about what exactly it would mean. Does it mean that there would be a Turkish incursion which would then stop once they reach 20 miles into eastern Syria? Well, there'll be a lot of bloodletting, nevertheless, for them to make those 20 miles up. And certainly what Turkish government representatives have said so far in response to that is, well, we're not interested in the buffer zone if on the other side of the buffer zone there's still terrorists, as they call them. And what the Turks mean by that is that if they're entering east of the Euphrates, they're doing so to end the currently existing Kurdish-dominated authority east of the Euphrates, which they regard as connected to the PKK. So it's unlikely that a buffer zone of that type would, in fact, satisfy Turkish demands. It certainly wouldn't, find favor with the Assad regime or probably the Russians as well inside Syria. So in a certain sense, that statement, like so much of sort of policy by tweet or strategy by tweet, ends up raising as many questions as it potentially answers, I would say.
The US withdrawal from Syria has also prompted fears within Kurdish ranks about a possible power vacuum in northeastern Syria. This is despite, of course, Trump's earlier assurances that Islamic State forces have been eradicated. Who stands to gain the most from a power vacuum in this area?
Well, we do have a precedent for this, of course, because in January 2018, in the ironically named Operation Olive Branch, that the Turkish army conducted into a Kurdish-controlled area, a Kurdish canton further west of the Euphrates River, called Afrin, which the Turks entered there. And that area wasn't protected by U.S. air power. It wasn't part of the coalition's war against ISIS. So Afrin was defended only by the Kurdish forces themselves. They fought hard and held out for a couple of months, and then Afrin fell. So we already have a kind of precedent for this. Who came to power to fill the vacuum in Afrin when the Kurdish forces were expelled? And the answer is the sort of disparate Syrian, mainly Arab rebel forces, many of them Islamists.
Jonathan, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to interrupt. We have got the news, and I appreciate your time today.
That's fine.
Jonathan Speier is a research fellow with the Jerusalem Institute for Strategic Studies.